Lord and Savior. So Father, we lift all of our prayers into your hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. Brothers and sisters, please remain for scripture reading. Remain standing for scripture reading. And today's passage is from Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. Please listen as I read the scripture. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, please be seated. And let us put our hands together to welcome Reverend YC Thank on you. Stage.
Thank you. Governing Church, very fast the time flies that we are into the second last month of the year, 2025. And I pray that the last 10 months has been good for all of you. And how many of you really experienced God within your last 10 months? Experience the truth and experience the power of the gospel. If your friend were to ask you, "Janice, what does the gospel really mean? What is gospel?" What would you answer? What's your answer to them? You probably will say that gospel means, Jesus Christ come, he's a son of God, he come, he died for us, and then, you accept Jesus Christ, you have joy, you have peace, all your problems, you rolled away, and then, you need to pray to God, God will help you. And that's about all. We give a lot of information about what the gospel is about, more descriptive. But often, we lack the part that gives the ooms. To tell people that how many of you, when you share the gospel, you say that, our God is so powerful. In my life, I was like that, and then how God changed me. Often, the part that we tell is very informative, and we stop at the information, and then we leave it to the person, or leave it even to ourselves sometimes in our own life, that we seldom or very little we experience the true power of the gospel. How many of you really raise your hand and say that, "I really experienced the true power of the gospel"? How many of you, honestly, you can really say that, "I really experienced the true power of gospel"? Or the gospel to you is just a blessing on top of something that already have. Okay? So, what is the gospel? The gospel is not merely good teaching, but the mighty power of God that transformed life. The verb for the gospel, the key verbs for the gospel is transformation. It's change. It's not just for information. It's not just for you to subscribe to another higher level code of ethics or conduct or more noble term that you use, holiness, righteousness, all this kind of stuff. No, it's something that really transforms. And people want to see your life transform. People can acknowledge that your life is transformed. Your mom can see, your dad can see, your classmate can see, your colleague can see. They can tell that you are Christian. And you can experience the power of the gospel in your life. So the gospel is God's mighty power to save and to transform. The verse that we just read, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. And a report about him went through all the surrounding country, and he was teaching in their synagogues, being glorified by all." You see, Jesus returned from where? From Jordan. Okay, later you read. Jesus returned from the river Jordan in the power of the Spirit. And then with that, he went into the synagogue, and then it was his custom, and he was supposed to do the scripture reading that day, and then he read the Isaiah script, which is the prophecy for the Messiah to come. And later on he said that today in your hearing, the scripture has been fulfilled. In other words, the Messiah has come. It is me. That's what it says. So it was really a great, you realize that it, then from there it launched the whole ministry of Jesus. We call the ministry of Jesus the 3.5 years. Started from that reading and that proclamation and that fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah in that synagogue in his hometown. So look at it, that even Jesus has to minister in the power of Spirit, full of his Spirit power. And today is a ministry filled with the Spirit. Do you have a Spirit-filled worship team, Spirit-filled children ministry, a Spirit-filled mission team or AV team or your cell group itself? Spirit-filled. Really, you feel the power of the Spirit, not just the knowledge of Christ, not just the knowledge about the Bible. How old do you think, how old is Moses before he died, you know? Not those trivial questions alone, but you know deeper than that. Because the gospel is just about knowledge. You realize that the rich people, the educated, can become Christian if they want to. The lower educated, not so educated, poor people also can be Christian. So knowledge, you know, doesn't bring you to another level of holiness, another step closer to God. The Pharisees knows a lot, but they come before the temple and say, "Oh, thank God, I'm not like this man who stand beside me. I tithe, I fast." Then these Gentiles, this tax collector, why say, "Oh God, have mercy on me, Son of Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Who is closer? Does knowledge, what kind of knowledge? Knowledge about the law, Old Testament, what to eat, what not to eat, what can you do in the Sabbath, what you cannot eat, or the knowledge of the Most High God, the true God there who save, that who have mercy, who can save life. And this is what the Gentiles say. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Who is closer to God? Who knows God better? The Pharisees, with a lot of great learning and Bible knowledge, or the one that who know God for who he is. Today, in our church, same thing. That is the Spirit-filled life. You know, the Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the Son of God. So you look at the verse, that is, before that, let's trace a little bit onto the previous chapter. Okay, in the same chapter, in verse 1 of chapter 4. Just now we read verse 14. So verse 1 says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into temptation. Today, when you say that you're being filled with the Holy Spirit, you thought that God will put you into a very comfort zone, around people that who love you, who cherish you, who clap for you, who doesn't let any difficulty before you. But here, you realize that the Spirit led him into the wilderness and he was tempted there for 40 days. 40 days, not 4 days, not 4 hours. 40 days there, alone, no one else. Only you, the devil, and all the bushes in the wilderness. This is what we mean by 一人走. In the church, there are things in life, there are there are places in life, time in life, whereby you know that it is you and God. No one can help you. Your spouse cannot understand. Your spouse cannot help you. No one, absolutely no one. That is a battle that you need to fight. That's a battle that only you and God can only help you. No one else can help you. Have you come to that point? I pray that all of us will come to that point. Because sometimes too much help doesn't make you good. It doesn't help you. Because you become very reliant on other people to help me. The moment I said, I expect people to comfort me, to sayang me. Learn how to do some self-recovery sometime. With God. With God. In the Old Testament, David said he encouraged himself in the presence of God. Do you encourage yourself in the presence of God? When you expect your cell leader to call you 3 times a day so that, you know, kind of help you, walk with you. Thank God we have people like this. But let's learn that full of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Jesus started his ministry. But let's trace a little bit even earlier in chapter 3, in verse 21 and 22.
When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, if you kind of put it in a chronological order, okay, let's start with chapter 3 first. So Jesus went up, and then John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Rio Jordan. So Jesus came, and John, look at Jesus. Jesus said, "Please baptize me." Don't say, no, I need to be baptized by you. 不要开玩笑, no. Because he said, he realized who Jesus is. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And two of the disciples followed Jesus. He never hold back his disciple. He know who Jesus is and how can he be baptized. So why is it that Jesus wants to be baptized? Jesus said, "For the sake of all righteousness, let's do it. Let's do it." And then he was baptized. And when he had the heavens open, you realize the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him and abide in him. And then come to verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, being led into the wilderness. Then, because only with the power of the Holy Spirit can you overcome temptation. How often you try to learn all the self-help book to overcome your temptation? Okay, maybe, you know, when you get angry, you know, you walk away, and then you have some cool-off time, it may help you a little while. But if your heart continues to have anger, it's a matter of time, you cannot cover the lid. You will just blow up. We always say, you probably have heard it before, Christ come not to make a bad man look good, but he make a dead man alive. You know that, right? You heard it many times. Let me ask you, is your Christian life now is a life improvement of your previous self? Or is it you're leading a truly new life? You ask yourself. You ask myself, for 30 years become a Christian, am I another version 2 of YC Wong? Self-help improvement. I used to tell a lie, a lot of lies, now I don't tell. I used to be like that, now I improve. So behavior modification is often fall into the trap of the law. You must do this, you must do this. You're not studying the word enough, you're not praying enough, you're not fast enough, you have not hanana enough. You realize that we are doing a lot. And our testimony often is also about behavioral modification. Before that, I was like that. Now I like that. So everybody can hand. Oh, can say that. Often the life doesn't change. The behavior change, but the life doesn't change. Does Christ come to change your behavior? Is he an educator? Is he a behavioral psychologist to come and change your behavior? So you look good, prescribe to a higher order of ethics than other mainstream secular people? It's not. You look at the description that he gave, okay? Let's enter into what Christ's field ministry. It was first claimed. Prophecy was made about him. And even during his baptism, he's being said, "You are my beloved son." My dear brother and sister, you are the beloved children of God. You read 1 John, you will see many times again and go, "Oh, behold, what manners of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." You are claimed. You are marked by God. You belong to God because you are bought with a great price. You are not your own. You are being claimed. He is being claimed by God. "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And he's anointed. The Spirit filled him, giving the power to do the work of the gospel. Today, the same thing. When we believe in Christ, the Spirit is upon us. That's why in John 14, before Jesus went to the cross, he told the disciple, "I need to go. It's for your benefit that I go. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. The Advocate will not come. I will pray, I will ask the Father, and the Father will send another Advocate, which is the Spirit of truth, who will abide in you forever." You realize that? Forever, the Spirit of God is with you, anointed, so that you can go. And when the Spirit come in Acts 2, say that, oh, you will be filled with the Spirit will come upon you, and you will fill with power, and you will become my witness in where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. The Holy Spirit changed life. Doesn't modify behavior. It changed life. When life changes, whatever that comes of it are the fruits of the life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Don't try to imitate love. Don't try to imitate joy. There's no way you can have a true joy if that doesn't come from you. You will not have patience, no matter how hard you control your anger, because there's no love in you. Because love is patient. So instead of dealing with your patience, why don't you deal with your love? When you deal with the right thing, you can experience the power of God to transform. And he's being tested. Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, was being led into the place of temptation for 40 days and 40 nights. Were you tempted? Were you tested? James tells us that, oh, my brother, when you fall into various temptation and trial, count it all joy. Count it great joy. In fact, count it great joy. When we fall into temptation or trial, life becomes more challenging and difficult. What do we do? Do we count it all joy? No. We complain. And often we get very sulky ourselves. Right? You ask Peter. Peter says, hey, my brother, if any fiery trial were to come upon you, don't be surprised. Oh. It's normal. Even Jesus Christ was being tested 40 days and night in the wilderness. We are tested. Are we sent? Of course we are sent. Oh, come, 12 disciples, let's eat, drink, and be happy. After a while, they send them two by two out. Don't bring extra tunic, don't bring extra shoe, don't bring money, don't bring purse, go. Ah, like that can. When they went, they experienced. Life transformed. Wow, I came back so happy. Wow, I want to report to Jesus what I did. That's how you go to Tuanxuan, you come back. Wow, you're so happy, I want to report the thing. Jesus say, be thankful that your name is written in the book of life. Sent. Jesus says that as the Father sent me, I sent you. You realize that what Jesus has done as a model for us, and we as a disciple, as a church of God, we are follow this. The Spirit field of ministry is upon the church. It's not by just a few persons, it's by every follower of Jesus Christ. Every disciple of Jesus Christ would do that. So the Spirit-filled ministry, the power of the Holy Spirit is the foundation of Jesus' ministry. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit, not the effort of man. We can do a lot of things. The behavior modification, you don't have to become a Christian to improve your behavior. You can attend classes, etiquette classes. You can go for some meditation, transcendental meditation, yoga, whatever classes. Go and get some, quiz and then understand yourself a little bit more. Don't know whether you're DISC, MBTI, or all the enneagram that you are belongs to, and then try to manage different enneagram, 9 with 1 or 7 with 2 or whatever. You can manage it. But that's not about that Jesus come. Remember, he's not a behavioral psychologist. He is a savior. A Savior come to save and to deliver. Something that you and me cannot do. So the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit will result in ministry of real impact and influence. Is your life influencing others? Is your life have impact on the people around you? Your family members? Your closest friend? Does it have impact in the place that you work? Are you truly the salt and the light where you are? Or you are a candle lit, hid under the bushel, under the table? A true presence of the Holy Spirit will definitely have influence and impact. And later on, as you know, that is a prerequisite. Jesus baptized, heaven opened, the Spirit descended upon him, filled with the Spirit. He overcame all the temptation, and then he came back to the church, and then he read the thing. Today, this verse, the Messiah has come. The victor has descended from heaven. Victorious. And this is what he said in a fivefold proclamation of the gospel. Good news to the poor. Not just to the poor, physical poor, but to the broken life, to those that are spiritually poor. And freedom for the prison. Open the prison door. People are being kept and imprisoned by sin, by fear, by addiction. Recovery of sight. People cannot see. All that they can see is money. All that they can see is pleasure. They cannot see the true thing. They cannot see love. Even you are very zhenxing with them, they still think that you try to, you have some ulterior motive. They cannot see eternal value beyond their lifespan. Recovery of sight. Set the oppressed free. Freedom from hurt and fear. All of us have hurt and fear. But who can set us free? No number of causes can set you free. It is the Spirit of God, the truth of God that set us free. And proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's God's complete salvation and restoration. So let's go through one by one. Proclaiming good news to the poor. Spiritual poverty, not just physical poverty. It also refers to what? Spiritual poverty of broken hearts, broken life. Everyone needs to be loved, to be accepted, to be comforted, forgiveness, healing. How many of us don't need this? Every one of us need this. That's why in Matthew 5:3 says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you poor in spirit? Or are we act like Pharisee? Who said we are blind? We are not blind. Only the Gentiles are blind. How dare you say that we are blind? We know all the laws. We know what to do on Sabbath. We know how to offer proper sacrifice that God will accept our sacrifice. You don't know. We know. Jesus said, you are blind. Blessed are the poor. Do you think you're poor? Or you're very rich in your own self? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And second, freedom for prisoner. Bound by sin, your evil habits, sinful nature cannot change. Because how you try hard, restrain yourself. It's a matter of time, you will just blurt it out from your mouth. Addiction, cell phone, games, pornography, materialism. We try to find ways to overcome all this. Again, it always goes to the route of behavioral modification and maybe try to change your thinking a bit. But you realize that when Christ comes, it is transformation. It's not modification. It is dead man to a man alive and bitterness, imprisoned by unforgiveness. How many of us? Some of us cannot forgive what our parents said to us. We cannot forgive what the parent did. We cannot forgive what the boss did to us. We cannot forgive our neighbor, our childhood friend did to us. A lot of this kind of thing. I have a testimony from one of our church members, old lady in our church. He said for 30 years, after he accepted Christ and made this testimony, he says that for 30 years, I never talked to my in-law, never connect, never talk, never even communicate. In-law means the son's. The daughter-in-law's parents, okay? So these are elderly. So they never talk for 30 years, never talk. Because of some misunderstanding, they don't want to talk to each other. So he also don't talk, the person also don't talk. Imagine 30 years, the grandchildren don't grow up so big already. But they won't talk to the other side. Then when he accepted Christ, he realized that should not be the way. And he take the initiative to call after 30 years and restore the relationship with the in-laws. Life changed. Freedom from being unforgiven. Imprisoned by unforgiveness can be broken. Fear makes people lose their freedom. Why are you fearful? Fearful that you will not be successful. Fearful that when you graduate, there's no job. Fearful that you will not find your next life partner. Fearful. Tata shot one lump. Ayo, chama. What do you think? Huh? Muscle? No lah. Tumor maybe. You touch a bit. Ayo, there's a lump here. Instead of saying that pimples, you say, ayo, chama. Something more serious than that. We are very fearful people. You can be fearful of rejection. You can be fearful of not money, not enough. So much thing that fearful that causes us to lose our freedom. Is Christ not sufficient? We know it so well. Look at the lily of the valley. Neither do they spin or toil. Yet we clothe them. Right? Look at the birds of the air. Neither do they sow, do they reap. Yet the Father feeds them. Aren't you more worthy? Aren't you worth not more than the sparrow? We all know this. Does knowledge change life? To a certain extent. But Christ is not come to tell you knowledge. He come to change life. Is your life truly changed? Or your life just being modified by some teaching of Christ? Next is recovery of sight for the blind. The blindness of this world, what are they? If you miss the meaning of life, then you want to gratify the pleasure all that you want. When you don't have eternal value in perspective, all that you are concerned and calculate daily is the temporal gain, whether I have money, whether this deal is good, no good, whether it's to my advantage, to my disadvantage. You will use that because that's all. Then you don't see God's love, then you will see all the indifference of people. Even people smile at you, you doubt their intention because you never feel love before. That is how sad it is. We are blinded by so much thing, and the gospel opens the eyes of our hearts. Let us see God's love, the meaning of life, and the eternal value. That is what the gospel helps us to see. And to set the oppressed free. Oppression can come from what? Social injustice. You may be bullied, you may be discriminated in certain countries, certain area, right? Interpersonal injury can be from your family, your family trees or whatever, you know. And then from somebody with authority, some significant people say something to you. Somebody said to you, 你什么东西都做得不好, you are so lousy. You never study well, not like your brother. You remember that for 50 years. I can never be an A student. I will always be C and D. Who can help you with that? You're oppressed. Interpersonal fear and shame, the thing that you did wrong, haunt you, haunt you, haunt you, haunt you. All that relationship that you had before your marriage, you dare not even bring it up to your spouse before the marriage day. And you want to bring it into your coffin, if possible. Fear, shame. Has that changed you? Or you decide what to say and what not to say. And just do some behavioral modification that will keep the peace of the group. Sin and evil will ensnare us and oppress us. So Jesus wants to give us true freedom and teach us to do justice and have mercy. And the last one is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What is the year of the Lord's favor? Basically, in the Old Testament, is the year of Jubilee, the 50th year. Okay, in the Jubilee, in the Old Testament system in Israel, what does it do? Debt cancellation, slave being freed, land being returned. This is the three things that happen in the year of Jubilee. So it symbolizes God's complete salvation and restoration. Everything restored. Your old people, debt cancel. Your land, you go and pawn your land. Oh, you can get it back. You don't lose it forever, right? And then the slave for life, you can be free. So in the New Testament, it will be the gospel instead of the Jubilee. So it's a New Testament grace of forgiveness of sin in Christ. And then what happened in that is that the debt is being blotted out. The debt to God is being blotted out. The relationship, the reconciliation with God, the relationship is restored. A new life begins. He that in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Behold, old thing has passed. All thing has become modified, new. Nicodemus come to Jesus at night. What must I do? Unless you be born again. How can be born again? I'm so old already, cannot go into my mother's womb. He that born from above, not modify the old self on earth, but he that being born from above, is of above. So what does he do? The gospel is the fulfillment of God's complete salvation and restoration. But today, often when we preach the gospel, we preach it as it symbolizes only. In words, you know why? When we share gospel, we don't share the power of God because ourselves don't experience the power of the gospel in our life. Agree? I'm saying it to myself as well. When you share the gospel, you seldom talk about the power of God. You only talk about the information of God, the description of God. What is this? What do you do? But you fail often to share the power of God. To the Israelites, it's very different. They know the law, but they also know that the God is the one there who saves them from the hands of Pharaoh. The kingdom of Egypt was the most powerful dynasty during that time. Who can save a group of slaves out of Pharaoh's hand? God sent a man called Moses. Single-handedly with God, they saved 1 million people out of it. What kingdom do you call that? That's greater than the kingdom of Pharaoh. It is the kingdom of God. More powerful than the kingdom of Pharaoh. That is it. The fulfillment of God's complete salvation and restoration. As I said, often we do not share that because in our life we don't see the power of God even working in our life. We like to use our religion, sorry to say that, of faith to bring blessing to people. In Chinese saying, there's two. Either 你是雪中送炭还是锦上添花. Often, we are just 锦上添花. The thing that we give thanks, the testimony often that we do, a very minor thing, you know. Look at it on the right perspective. I'm not saying that it's not important. It's a very minor thing. But look at what the proclamation of gospel. Blind become see. Oppressed become set free. Those that are in prison, out of prison. It is not just that, I lose this job, then I get another job, better pay. Thank God for that. But we should graduate from that, like the Hebrews say. If you still deal with all these very fundamental basic things, then where is the power of God in your life? Where is it? Remember, God is not a behavioral psychologist. They will try to diagnose you and give you a prescription and ask you to follow. He come to change life. Jesus, why Jesus need to be baptized? He need not to be baptized. But for the sake of righteousness, he said, baptize me. He's setting a model for all of us. You realize you want to have the Spirit of God? You want to feel with the power of God? What is the baptism of John called? Any one of you? What's the baptism of John called? It's the baptism of repentance. That Jesus need to repent. He need not to repent. He's perfect man. He's perfect God. He set an example for us. Unless you repent, there's no power of Spirit in your life. Cannot. Light cannot coexist with darkness. Cannot. My brother and sister, often we try to live this dual life. We thought that it's okay unless it doesn't brought to the light. You need not to brought in, you need not to bring it to light. The light is in you. You are the light of the world. Why you need another light to shine to you to let people to point out that this is wrong, this is dark? You need external light. The light is within you. You are the light. So the fulfillment of God's complete salvation and restoration. So today he said that, after he said this, Jesus says that this most wonderful and audacious thing that Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled. Wow, oh, then look at him. Fulfilled? You know what the scripture talk about? He's prophesying about the future Messiah. And now you say it's fulfilled. Are you saying that you are the Messiah? And Jesus said, yes, I am the Messiah, basically. So all of them cannot take it. And the way that he said that the scripture fulfilled today, not in distant future. Often if we preach a gospel that symbolizes, it's always in the future. It's nothing happened in reality. Your life doesn't change, doesn't transform. You're still the old self, maybe version 2 of the old self. It's not a new self. He said today, not in the distant future, but it's at this time. And then it is fulfilled, not in theory, not in the mind, not in your psychic, but in reality, it's a practical realization of what is happening. They really see. They really walk out of the prison. The oppressed are really being set free. And they're truly free as they proclaim the year of the favor of the Lord. Truly free. Jubilee has come. Land returns slave free. Debt canceled. Free. True freedom in Christ. So number 3, in your hearing, it happened in the midst of them. Is it today? As all of you bear witness in today, this time, this hour, it's happening. Is the power of the gospel really happening, taking roots in your life and making change, a permanent change, change for the better, change for the glory of God? Is that happening now? Now. Jesus says that it is happening now that in your hearing. So the gospel is not a historical story or a hope for the future alone, but a power that can be experienced today. Which one to experience the power of gospel? Many of us, we have become Christian. And we just become Christians. What does Christian mean to you? Christianity means to you. What does gospel mean to you? It's a formula to get salvation. A guiding compass for your life. Or what? Someone to run to when you need help and blessing. An ATM machine. What? What's the gospel? The center of the gospel is Christ. And Christ is not coming here just to make your life better. He's here to change us as a whole. So let's live up the power of the gospel. First, on a personal level, let the gospel change you. If you have believed Christ for many, many years, and your life is just modified, you be honest with yourself. I cannot check you, but you know. Spend some time tonight. Go and pray about it. Is your life really changed? Really a new life, a new disposition. A new realization of who you are. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for there is the kingdom of God. And I want the kingdom of God. Second, the church will be the channel of the gospel and social. We are the light and the salt of the world. So 3 responses. You have not accepted Jesus Christ, accept Jesus Christ. Because he's the only way, the truth, and the life. The second, if you are Christians, But you still have these life bondages. Your issue in life that you can never overcome. You try many means and many ways, it cannot. I want to invite you to come to the Lord today and experience His power to set you free today. And live the gospel. Then not only receive the gospel, but also be a channel for God to bless others as well. So what's Spirit-filled ministry? What's today's challenge? We don't let our people to work. We don't let people to do work in a church, ministry, whatever. But this is what happened. I like the saying, he says that many Christians and churches are busy with activities that lack the power of the Holy Spirit. We may have wonderful program, efficient organization, but without the presence of the Holy Spirit, all this is just religious activity. You are nothing but a Pharisee, nothing but a scribe, nothing but the old Jews. Mission trip, Ubon, Ira, Alam Sutra, can be religious activity, can be egocentric kind of activity for the church. What is that? What is that? The Spirit is the one that searches the depth of our heart, and only He can do it. So can I invite the worship team to come forward? As you sing this song, I want all of us to contemplate, and then I want to call that if you today, if you listen to this sermon, and you feel that there's something in you that you want to talk to God, say, God, yes, I'm poor. I need you. Oh, God, I'm in this for a long time. I get sick of it. I want to get out of it. Please help me. Say, Lord, I want to go deeper with you. Give me a greater heart for you. I just don't want to know you. I don't want to hear about you. I don't want to hear about testimony. My life will be your stage for you to perform. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice for Him. Will you? Let's rise and sing this song.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and saved.
Your eyes. Don't care about who's the next person, whether it's a cell group leader, your pastor, doesn't matter. It's a time for you to transact with God. If whatever that you hear today, there's an echo in your heart, there's a resonance in you, then you need to respond to God. I ask that you come forward. I want to pray with you and for you. Let's not put on an act again anymore. We want to be real. We want to be real. We want other people to be real with us. So let's be real ourselves with God first. As the worship team continue to sing this song, I want you to come forward. You cry out to God, say, God, yes, I don't want to hear about you. I want to experience you. I want to see you true and true in my life. Powerful, Lord. You are the one that who can break forth. You are the one that who provide for the 40 years of the Israelites in the wilderness. Their shoes never wear on out. They have water to drink every day. Is that a God that you believe in? Is that the gospel that you believe in? Or just a set of rules and do and don'ts? So before we go around and preach the gospel, let's preach the gospel to ourselves. Let the gospel take roots in us. They will breed a new life. A new life for God. Shall we sing and then we invite whoever that will come just come forward and transact and speak and pray to God. And recommit yourself, say, God, here I am, take me for your own. Those who are still contemplating, who are still thinking, if God really speaks to you and touch your heart, I want you to have the courage to come forward. Sorry to say this, you don't even have the courage to respond to God. I doubt you have the courage to let God change your life thoroughly. Seriously, you don't have the courage to face God alone. How you expect have the courage to let God transform you and turn your life upside down for you, for the better of you? Can you sing one more time and then we'll close in prayer? There's a chorus. Father, we want to thank you for all those that will come forward in faith. They respond because they see that they are poor. Oh, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So I pray the Lord that you will give to them, Lord, the kingdom of God with the pouring of your spirit into their life. Oh Lord, you change them, Lord, not just modify their life, but you give them a new life, a new disposition, a new mind, a new heart. You take away their stony heart, you take away their bent towards sinning, you give them the desire for holy living, you give them, create in them a clean heart, Lord. Let all things be passed, like you said, for in Christ is their new creation. Behold, all things has passed, all things has become new. So I declare in the name of Jesus that all of you, in the name of the Spirit, in the name of Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, your sins are given, you are forgiven, and the Spirit of God will pour into your life right now. Receive it by faith and say that, yes, I have the Spirit. Spirit, come and take my life. My life for you to take is for you, Lord. Take and lead me aright, oh Lord, I pray. And I pray for all of us as a church, Lord, forgive our sins. Of the Lord, that we are so good, Lord, in doing things, but we fail, Lord, to recognize who you are, what you really want. It's not the people that we want to please, it is you, Lord. So let us alive be offered as a living sacrifice for you. From this moment onwards, from this day onwards, it is for you, Lord. Help us. This is our pledge to you. As so long as we come before the table before you, Lord, it is covenant that you make with us. And today we want to make this covenant with you as well. We accept this covenant. That is by the blood of Jesus Christ we are cleansed. We are made new. We are born again. We are a new creation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. So bless our people here. Pour forth your spirit, Lord. pour forth your spirit into their life and let them experience the revival, Lord. There will be fire in their bones, fire in their bones, Lord. They will not stop. They will know that the power is in them to do the good will.